Well, good morning, friends. It's always so good to be here because I know I am among friends, and that keeps increasing as I'm working with your teams. Am I on the... Oh, you're not using the...
Okay, now you can hear me. Yes, the friends are increasing as I work with the teams. It's kind of fun to be here on the Sunday that the announcement is made about Pastor Ryan. I'm so excited. I've been in conversation with him and told him he is going to love you all. He's going to love being here. So I'm glad that is coming together. It's going to be a little interactive this morning. No drills involved, but I hope you picked up the compass sheet as you came in with your bulletin. If not, I don't know if there's an usher who can provide that. And you'll need at some point a pen or a pencil as well. So I know Brian had those if you need one. Not yet, but soon. But just, you can be prepared just to know. It's already been introduced, but I'll introduce again that this morning we're continuing your Advent series on the O Antiphons from the hymn, O Come Emmanuel. The O Antiphons are the titles found in Scripture for the coming Messiah, most of which are found in the book of Isaiah. I think there was a handout last week that kind of set the stage for that and gave you the history and background or say a few things, but there's probably extra that you can pick up if you were not here last week. But traditionally, there are seven O Antiphons sung or spoken in a Vesper service the 7 days leading up to Christmas. And the origin is unknown, but it dates back to anywhere from the 6th to the 8th century, the seven O Antiphons. The first publication of a form of the hymn, O Come Emmanuel, with 5 verses, occurred in Germany, in a German hymnal in 1710. And over the centuries, it was expanded and the order changed on those verses. But essentially, we can understand that this traditional Advent hymn has been sung by Christian brothers and sisters in one form or another throughout the Western world for centuries, if not over 1,000 years. Our covenant hymnal includes 4 of the O Antiphons. And it's these 4 that you're focusing on in this series of Advent leading into Christmas. And today we're looking at the 2nd verse. As we read it earlier, I'll repeat it. O come thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. So the title here for Messiah is Dayspring, which is a variation on the original antiphon called O Oriens or O Rising Sun. And its root is found in a couple different Old Testament prophecies. Primarily, it's found in Isaiah chapter 9, where it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." But also Malachi, which says, "But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." So I know when Lynn invited me to participate in your Advent series, she said she was happy I chose this particular one. It wasn't lost on us that my name is Dawn. It kind of fit. But there were some other reasons I chose this particular antiphon, and I'll talk more about that towards the end. But the meaning, as we heard from what Brian said too, it's about this dawning light that has come, this light that dispels darkness, despair, and ultimately death. This dayspring, this light, is what we also heard read from the Gospel of Luke in Zechariah's prayer, where he says, "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high," or the King James says, "dayspring. The dayspring will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So here in our region of the world, in the Pacific Northwest, we have the natural world assisting a visceral experience of death and darkness, don't we? With ever-shortening hours of sunlight and the seasonal death of and dormancy of foliage and flora, we witness those lengthening shadows of darkness. The shadow of death surrounds us. We witness it daily as we take walks and look outside. I just came back from Florida, and I can't tell you how disorienting it is to arrive in Tampa and 70-plus degrees and Christmas trees. Like, it just doesn't fit. I'm grateful for what we have helping us enter into the season. But it surrounds us in other ways too, doesn't it? None of us are immune to the threats of darkness that hover in our world. The powers and principalities in our world are alive and well, with daily reminders being delivered through our media sources and social media outlets. Some of us maybe have even come near or touched the shadow of death in the recent years. Maybe it's come close to us, whether personally or family members or those we love. Sickness, whether psychological or physical, may have left its imprint. And we're still feeling the heaviness as we sit with emptiness or heartache, particularly, as Stan said, this time of year. And there are losses here, right? Right here at Valley Covenant. The hole that perhaps is left with members who haven't returned or who have moved away or retired. And of course, you hold these friends dear and you affirm their paths, but we can still name those as losses. We feel the loss that reveals a persistent shadow of impermanence and change and endings that haunts our lives. The prophet Isaiah speaks to the people walking in darkness. While written more than two millennia ago, this phrase still rings true. We are a people who, despite all the incredible advances in light technology, and I know there's probably a more technical term for that, but technology that illumines our lives any hour of every day, despite being people who know the Messiah, the one that Isaiah was even hoping and writing about, we are still people who walk in darkness. That's our reality too. And I think it's important, it's always important to name that reality, to not keep those dark, maybe painful places of fear and grief and pain and darkness hidden. Because to name is to illumine them and release some of the weariness and maybe some of the struggle or burden. By naming, we are praying. We are acknowledging our need before God. So that brings us to that compass page that you have. I wanted this morning to be more than just academic, more than me standing and just telling you things, but to actually give you an opportunity to interact and to reflect. So this compass is a piece, a reflection piece that I use every opportunity I can, whenever I lead retreats or even when I do group discernment activities. So today I'm just introducing you to a portion of it as it relates to our theme of darkness and light. So we're going to use it as just an opportunity to name and to engage. So it's not just about these words. But how does it connect with you today as a people who sit in darkness or walk in darkness? Where is that happening right now? So the west quadrant on the compass in this reflection exercise relates specifically to the setting sun. It's the direction of endings and losses. And for our purposes, let's think of it as representing those shadow places where the shadow of fear or loss or doubt, the way that the sun is going down, or it may feel like the sun is going down on things. So it's an opportunity to name, to write down some of those things. You might think of this personally, what you are experiencing today. You might think of it corporately, as a church community, where you're feeling those signs, those shadows of darkness, or globally. So name that, write those down. It can be written as a list, as a prayer. If you're artistic, you can draw. I'm just going to actually give us a couple minutes of silence for you to do that, to sit with that, those words, that image. Consider it as a prayer, naming maybe lament to God. Where is darkness setting in? Where are you walking in darkness? I acknowledge it may feel a little strange on a Sunday morning in worship to be having to reflect on the darkness, but it's important to name that, to feel it, to be let it be a part of our Advent experience, because it is our experience. I know as a family, there's mental health issues, that feel dark in my family at times, or parents that are aging, or just reading the news, right, is a constant reminder. So I'm not going to ask you to, in a large group, express that might be a little much, and I understand that, but I do want you to name it aloud. So I'm going to have you group up in maybe threes or whatever seems natural with where you're sitting to say out loud whatever you're comfortable sharing. So my husband always says, there's a scale of 1 to 10 of how open, 10 being like you're all out there, and most people aren't ready to do that. It's okay. Do it on the scale that you're comfortable with, but maybe at least one thing that you can name that just feels like you're walking in darkness right now that you're experiencing, okay? So you have a just real quick 2 minutes to do that. Hi, thank you. Thank you for being willing to participate here. We hold those together. We are people walking together. And there's an interesting thing about the shadows. There are no shadows without light, without a light source, right? Shadows imply light. And sometimes we can get caught up staring at the shadows without recognizing the light from behind. And we don't want to stay fixated on that for sure today. These laments, these shadows, the dark places. Even while acknowledging it. Because we do have hope. Our day spring has come. And so let's turn now to the east quadrant on the compass. And this is the quadrant where we reflect on new beginnings. The ever-increasing light and healing exposure of the sun. It is the dawning of possibility, of hope. It may not yet be fully realized, but we are catching glimpses of it, and we're encouraged. We're beginning to maybe feel the warmth of its rays. So here again, I'm going to give you just 2 minutes to write down some words or prayer of reflection regarding where you might see glimpses of light coming through, the new energy, the new thing that's emerging, maybe the invitation to embrace something new, some level of hope. So take a couple minutes to write that down in that east quadrant. All right, and this time, I'm going to invite you to, in a sentence, say it out loud. Sometimes it's easier to say the good thing in the larger group, the thing that we're hopeful about. Just some of you be willing to say out loud, what is the new thing, the light that you are seeing? Amen. Wonderful. Thanks, Kim. Just say it. Go ahead. Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Trudy.
Finishing up my dad's book.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Gary. Others? What are the glimpses of light that you're experiencing? I'm really good with silence. I love silence. Go ahead.
I feel like there's been lots of people that have entered my life, like, to sort of help
Wonderful. Thank you. That's lovely. Anyone else? It's a blessing to all of us to hear it. Yeah, Kent.
I retired. I'm not starving to death.
Oh.
I have a new garage. It's like,
wow. Wow. It's a new, it is a new, a whole new beginning. Beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But it just seems like every time something comes up, oh, we need help with this or that. There's always people who will step in. And I always love that about this congregation. It's just the way people step up and do what's needed and cheerfully. And,
yeah.
So I'm just very thankful.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right, well, we will have to save the North and South for another time, maybe a little teaser for coming back, where you can guess what those might be about. But again, Zechariah expressed his hope in this way. Let me read it again. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And to join kind of a couple of our passages, the prophet Isaiah refers to a people walking in darkness, and he says, those people have seen a great light. And here Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, says, our day spring, the dawn from on high, breaks upon us, illuminating the path, guiding us, guiding our feet into the way of peace. I can't remember if I've shared before, but walking is one of my favorite images and metaphors in Scripture. I consider myself a walker. I try to walk 3 miles a day. 6 years ago on my sabbatical, my husband and I walked part of the Camino de Santiago. And so it's been my kind of go-to form of exercise, but also prayer and space for reflection and talking with God. And so because of this, I'm drawn to anytime I see those words in Scripture and that image of Scripture. And it's here. It's right in our text today. And one more text that I want to just introduce as I bring it to kind of a close here that connects this walking and these images of light and darkness. And that's from 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. John writes, this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't tell the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's that line, walk in the light, that's really important to me. That particular phrase for years now has kind of been my mantra, my conviction, my intention. Someone came up and noticed my necklace. My necklace says, walk in the light, and it has a little compass in the middle here telling you how much I love this compass exercise. I don't do tattoos, so I just had jewelry made. That says it. But that's it, that invitation to walk in the light, knowing that God is light. Yeah, we may be surrounded by darkness and walk in a world that is filled with darkness, but I can choose each day and each moment to walk in the light and to reflect that light. It says, Zechariah says, it's by God's tender mercy that he has broken through the darkness and become our day spring, illuminating the path, chasing sin and darkness away. Or has this, the hymn says, he puts death's dark shadows to flight. And that is our hope now and forevermore, whenever that fullness is realized on earth as it is in heaven. And so I just encourage you this day not to ignore the darkness or fear it. It is a reality in our lives. You all know that. But to walk in the light, to choose to walk in the light, confessing, exposing those dark places for what they are, allowing the light and life of our Savior to reach through and into those dark places and be our healing and our hope. So let me pray for us as we close here. Lord, I thank you for these friends, these brothers and sisters who proclaim your goodness and your light, who reflect your light here in this building and even beyond. I thank you for the community that you have drawn together, and I ask, Lord, that you will continue to guide their feet into ways of peace, that they might be lights in the world, exposing darkness, bringing your healing and hope. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we have an opportunity to do some of that exposing by engaging in our confession of sin and how we respond here. So, is this corporate or do I read it?
Yeah, it's corporate.
It's corporate?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's stand and read together the confession of sin. Lord, we have not kept watch for you. We have occupied ourselves with our own concerns. We have not waited to find your will for us. We have not noticed the needs of the people around us. We have not acknowledged the love that has been shown to us. Forgive us for our lack of watchfulness. Help us to wait to know your will. Help us to look out for the needs of others. Help us to work and watch for your coming. Amen. And now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.